Eric, you can unmute.
I unmuted. Hi, say hi to Andy.
Hey, Danny.
Hi. Sorry, I just need out. I can't see.
Oh, hi.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We're good. Thank God. Yeah. Holding up. We just heard the A roofs down.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
We got to figure out who is the dog.
Another. No, my friend's taking him.
Oh, that's so nice.
I have a friend. She loves him. She has a dog just like him.
That's good. That I didn't even think about that problem. Just thought about the other problems.
Yeah, not only are we have to stay home now we have to remember not to carry anything outside.
Right. Always something. How was your Chag?
It was nice. It was quiet.
See if anybody else joins us. Good Shabbos. Parshat Shemini, we got through Pesach.
Awesome.
Pesach of isolation. You okay, Janet?
Yeah, I'm just trying to put up the thing on the screen so I can see the text more.
Okay, so I'm sharing the text over here. So this part of Shemini, most well known for the fact that they've inaugurated the Mishkan, they bring the first offerings, and then Aaron's sons bring an Esh Zara, and they're killed by the fire that comes out. And we're going to look at what happens afterwards, actually, where Hashem gives a commandment to Aaron. That's in source one. Tells him, you can't get drunk. Don't drink anything if you're going to serve, which is part of the reason maybe that's what happened to Aaron's sons. Vedeber Hashem Aaron lemor, yayin v'shechar al tesht. You shall not drink wine and intoxicating beverages. Atal v'nechi etach, you and your children, your sons, b'vachem ha'omoed lo tamutu. When you come to Omoed, and you will not die. This is an eternal rule for you, for your generations. And you will make a distinction between holy and profane, between the tamei and tahar, pure and impure. And to teach B'nai Yisrael, and you go teach B'nai Yisrael all the laws that Hashem told Moshe. And that's why I want to look at this idea of Ul Harod B'nai Yisrael. Because that's not usually what we think about when we think about Kohanim. Kohanim are the ones who do the service, they do the avoda, they do all the ritual stuff, but they're not. That's not the role of being a teacher. There's a role of being a rabbi, there's Rabbanut, and there's being Kohen, it seems to be something different. You can do both of those things, but there's a different role. Being a Kohen, how is that connected to the Luharot B'nai Yisrael, teaching B'nai Yisrael? But it seems to be somewhere in there. It seems to be an important part of that, even though we don't think of it that way. Look at the way Moshe gives the bracha to Levi at the end of his life in Zot HaBracha, source 2, Levi Amar. Levi said, you get the Urim and Tumim, you're the Chasei Hashem, you sitob Masad, Reveal Me Meriva, where we were tested at Masad Meriva. That was where Moshe sinned by hitting the rock. And it says, Yoru Mishpatechel Yaakov. They will teach your laws to Yaakov, Torah Chal Yisrael. They will give the Torah to Yisrael. In addition to Yasimu Ketabra Fecha, they will give the Torah, Kalil Mishpatechel, they'll bring them the offerings as well. So, what does being a Kohen or a Levi have to do with of Yoru Mishpatechel Yaakov? What's the teaching there? What are they doing the teaching? So I'm going to start with something completely unrelated.
Huh?
Something completely unrelated. Yeah. This is a hypothesis of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky in the MS Yaakov. And he makes a point, we'll eventually get back to this, but right now, makes the point that there's a difference between Biblical Hebrew and Mishnaic Hebrew. And the way the Gemara puts it in source 3 is, Lashon Torah l'atzma, Lashon Chachamim l'atzma. You know, the fact you know what something means in the time of the Mishnah doesn't mean doesn't teach you anything what it means in the Torah. They're very different languages, the grammar is very different.
And how does it change from l'atzma and l'atzmo? It's the same Lashon.
Anyway.
Oh, because Torah is feminine and Chachamim is...
But it's Lashon.
It is Lashon. I do not know why it does. You can look at the Gemara over there.
Okay. I will keep these comments.
That is a good question. I do not have a good answer.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah. Okay, but he's going to look specifically the way it says in our parsha. It says, Bein HaKodesh uVein HaChol. Between holy and and secular. And this is the Yemes Liakov, source 4. Hinei Zehu Signona Mikra. That's the way the Torah says it. That's the way you say it in Biblical Hebrew. And a kol pam shirotze lechalik ben shnei inyanim muvdalim. Then I want to make a distinction between two different things. Tuv al yedei shnei pamim ben. You say ben twice. Ben this, ben that. You go on like it says, ben ha'oro ben ha'choshech, ben ha'kosh ben kodosh kodoshim. An example, ben ha'chaya na'chelet, ben ha'chaya she'lo to'chel. That's sort of laws of kashrus in our parsha. Ben this, ben that. Look in the Mishnah and modern Hebrew too. That's not the way you say it. Like modern Hebrew is its own language completely, which I can't even read.
Well, it does what they do, like, oh, this, oh, that, oh, that.
Right, but they're talking about the ben. That's hamid hem nidolim ayadei ben achad. You say one ben. Mu'abdil ben kodesh luchol. Or luchosha. That's the expression in modern Hebrew, we'll call it, Mishnaic Hebrew. That's what we say, Abdullah. That the contrasting one, or the lesser one, is divided from the first one, idea ot lamed. Different ways of saying it. And then he points out that there seems to be machloke between the Machaber of Yosef Karo in the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, who gives the Ashkenazi halachas, about how we say Abdullah. Gets back to this distinction. This is the Shulchan Aruch. Asur l'asur shum lacha kodem she'abdil. Now you can't do any work before you make Abdullah, because you say something Abdullah. Im hivdil b'tfila mutar. Aho pisha dayin lo hivdil alakos. And you say atochan antanu, in davening, you say ma'ariv, and you say Abdullah there. That counts, and you don't necessarily need Abdullah on a cup of wine to fulfill your obligation of saying Havdalah. And if you need to do some work before you say Havdalah in Tefillah or make Havdalah in Hakos, Omer Hamavdil Bein HaKodesh Uvein HaChol. That's the way you're supposed to say it according to Yosef Karo. That's it. Hamavdil Bein HaKodesh Uvein HaChol. And the Ramah, that's the Haggah, says, V'chein Nashim She'enim Havdil Min Tefillah. Women who aren't davening ma'ariv, same thing. Yesh l'lomdam, you should teach them shiyomrim hamavdil ben kodesh l'chol. This is the way we say it in Abdullah. Right? Abdullah is hamavdil ben kodesh l'chol, Mishnaic Hebrew as opposed to the biblical Hebrew expression that the Shulchan Aruch says. Hamavdil ben kodesh l'chol, kodem shiyasim l'chol. Why is there a difference?
Don't we say it with the word baruch before?
Yes.
Baruch hamavdil.
Yeah, that's the way you usually say it. And we said, but his point is that there seems to be differences in the grammar of using biblical. Right. There's a kind of saying you use biblical grammar, and the Ramah says use.
Wasn't one in Israel and one not in Israel? Does that make a difference?
That is an important distinction. I'm glad you figured that out. That's not the issue here, but we're going to get to that issue immediately.
Okay. Why is that not?
Yes. Because he explains it starting with a completely different halacha.
Right.
Havashas challah.
Oh.
Okay, everyone knows you make your challah with more than 43rd eggs worth of dough, take out a piece of challah, give that to the kohen. And challah just means loaf, the piece of bread. That's as one of my favorite Rashi's, because Rashi translates into Laz into Old French, he translates challah as tortilla. In that tortilla, transliterated. So I recognize that word. So this is the mitzvah of challah. Parshas Blach. I bet you I'll show a little more. They bear up in Israel, Martel Ahem, tell B'nai Israel, speak to them, tell them, V'ochem ala aretz asher ni b'vei bi etchem asher. When you come to land that I am bringing you to, When you eat the bread, tarimu truma l'Hashem. You should separate truma. This is a, you lift it up, you separate it, give it to the Kohen. From the first of your dough, chala tarimu truma, you should take a loaf as a truma, as a portion, kutruma goren, just like truma on your fields, of the truma of the storehouse of the wheat that you give to the Kohen, kain tarimu ota, so too, that's your mitzvah, you have to give some of your dough. And if she does roast it, dechem, tinu lashem truma udur dechem, first to the dough, give that as a truma. So what's the bracha on harash shchala?
Hafrish shchala.
Okay. So, Shulchan Aruch says, sort of seven, b'shashet yafrish shchala, when you separate shchala, yivarech asher kishem usav sivan lahafrish truma. That's the Shulchan Aruch. And the Ramah quotes the Torah says, no, it's lahafrish shchala, which is the way we all say it, right? Hafrish shchala. So why the difference between these two words there? And the MS Yaakov here in Source A says, you know, it's the same thing. Truma is the language, is the term that the Torah uses for this mitzvah. Chala is the term that the Mishnah uses for the mitzvah. The Shulchan Aruch is using Biblical Hebrew. The Ramah is using Mishnaic Hebrew. But Leah made the point, the distinction is not here between Ashkenazim and Sephardim. Here's a hypothesis of the Eros Yaakov. I don't know if it's right or not. You have to go through every single bracha to figure it out. But this is one way he looks at it. So he has a couple explanations, but this is what he's going to explain. The lo pligi, that they are not arguing. Shulchan Aruch and Ramah are not arguing. Be'ikar takanat lashon bracha. They're not arguing how you're supposed to say bracha. They agree completely. Both of them decide, the tali bazet. This is the distinction. That if you're looking at a deraita mitzvah, then you should use biblical Hebrew because it comes from the Torah. But it's a rabbinic mitzvah, it's a rabbanan. Then I should use Mishnah Hebrew.
So it's not the fact that one was in Israel and one wasn't. It's just the fact that
makes the difference, right? So you have a car is in Israel. Mitzvah chala shela min haTorah. Remember, the mitzvah specifically said, we saw that, is b'vuachem al haaretz. Right? Chala as a mitzvah is a mitzvah d'oraita in Eretz Israel. Therefore, as a car would say, in Eretz Israel, you should say l'hafrish truma, use the Torah language. My Ramah's in Poland. Because that's a mitzvah drabbanan. So use rabbanan language for that.
Is this the practice today in Israel? They say lahafrish truma.
I don't know, and I don't know if this is right. You know, and I don't know if that's the way we look at it. You have to go look at all the brachot and see that.
Right.
Also, is it considered d'oraita? I'm not sure that it's still considered d'oraita. Is it? I mean, I guess Rav Yaakov was saying it.
It is.
I don't think it's not d'oraita. What?
No, nowadays in Israel, I mean, that's
the it's not majority.
And again, I think it's an interesting one, and I think you have to go through all of bracha and go through that. And I'm thinking counterexample is tefillin, which is d'oraita, but the word tefillin is. Lashon Chazal, it's Mishnah. The Torah doesn't use the word tefillin anywhere.
Tefot?
Right, it'd be tefot or ot, or something like that. But so I don't know if it's right, but it's an interesting distinction, and I think it's worth looking at it. It's a fascinating idea. It means that we really have to know the difference between Mishnah and Biblical Hebrew when we're saying a brachot, which I can't keep track of which it was, and know which word was used what. But going back to the Mavdil ben Kodesh Lachol, you would say the same thing. Kevin Yesh. So too you would say, Machaber in Abdallah Azli la Tamayhu, that the Machaber, the Yosef Karo and the Shulchan Aruch, and the Ramah, remember the Shulchan Aruch says you say Ben HaKodesh Ben Achol, Ramah says Havdil Ben Kodesh Lachol, they go according to their own reasoning, not about Israel, but about Havdallah. Because the question about Havdallah is, What's the mitzvah of Havdalah?
Oh.
It's a mitzvah d'oraita of Kiddush. When Shabbos comes, you have to say, it's Shabbos now. The cup of wine is the Rabbanan side, but there is a mitzvah d'oraita of saying Kiddush. Question, is there a mitzvah d'oraita of Havdalah on the other end? The Kadosho means to make it sanctified, to make it separate. Do I have to say, okay, Shabbos is over? Is that a d'oraita or not? Is that a Rabbanan? This is the Magen Avraham over there. It says, a Rambam, the Perchet Chavtet, Katav Davdala Hida Raita. Rambam famously says, Avdala is Mitzvah Daraita. Torah, when it says, Zachar Yom HaShabbat L'Kadosho, that includes saying something when Shabbos is over. Yesh Omrim Shehu Himid Rabbana. So, Reisha Chash HaRamah L'dat Yesh Mish Cholek. So the Ramah said, held like those who disagree with the Rambam, to say that Havdalah is not Daraita, Havdalah is Rabbana. V'fichach Hetik Hu Amadil Ben Kodesh L'Chol. So therefore he would say the Bracha is the Mishnah Hebrew. Amadil Ben Kodesh L'Chol. Machaber is Sfirli Havdalah Daraita, but the Yosef Karo says it is Daraita. Shapir is Sfirli, so we understand why he says L'mar Ben HaKodesh U'Ben HaChol. That's the pasuk we have in front of us. So I'm going to use it in biblical Hebrew. So that there's this distinction. We know there's a distinction between mitzvah d'oraita and mitzvah d'rabbana. Because the Torah says, "Lo tosef alav," you can't make your own mitzvah. You can't say this is another mitzvah that this is what God wants. But Chazal have this, the authority to establish takanot gezeirot that act as lieu mitzvot, but you have to be aware of that. If you're doing a d'rabbanan and think it's d'oraita, then you're over on about lo tosef. You're adding an extra mitzvah. You really should know that these things you're doing are d'rabbanan or not. So he's proposing that we're going to know this distinction by the way we say the bracha on it. We're going to say a bracha either way, but we're going to use biblical Hebrew for the d'oraita ones and rabbinic Hebrew for the d'rabbanan ones. And since we all are fluent both with both languages, we'll be able to keep track of which is which. I should be so lucky.
Yeah.
To be able to think about that. But it's, again, he presented as a hypothesis. We have to go through a halacha bracha. I don't know if he's actually developed it more than these mentions here. He also, some people say Shmini Chakat Seret versus Shmini Atzeret HaChag, and that distinction as well, depending on whether you're in Israel, whether Shmini Atzeret is really it's part of its own holiday, or is it the second day of Yontif, which you're only outside Israel? That's a separate issue. But there's an important distinction there between the Oraita and the Rabbanan that we have to be aware of. So let's go back to our question about the Goanim. That was all introduction. And anyone who was in the Tanakh class probably, 4 or 5 years ago, when we dealt with Shmuel Bet Perek Chet, where it basically sums up David's reign and his administration. Right? He's the king and he's the people, this is his cabinet. And this is the way it's put in Divrei Hayamim, we'll quote that. But Mochta Bira Kol Yisrael, David was king of all Israel, Vayi Osem Mishpat Utskakal Kol Amo, and he did justice and righteousness for all his people.
Oh, right. That's what we wanted it to end.
That's right. This is where it ends, right? After this part, we get to Bathsheba and everything else. But this is the point where Shmuel should end.
Yeah.
Okay? And this is his administration as he's doing all this justice and righteousness. Yoav ben Tsruya al HaTzavah. Yoav was in charge of the army. Yoshafat ben Achilud Maskir. And Yoshafat was the secretary, the person in charge of the records. Sadok ben Achituv, Avimelech ben Abiatar Kohanim, and Sadok and Avimelech were Kohanim. Shoshar Sofer and Shoshar the secretary, Bino ben Yada al Kreti ve Pleti, we translate that as the Sanhedrin, the courts, Bino ben that. Bnei David Arishonim liad HaMelech, and his sons were second in command to him. But part of his administration were the Kohanim. Sadok ben Achituv, Avimelech ben Abiatar Kohanim. Why does he have Kohanim in his administration? What does that do with a mamlacha of mishpat and tzedakah? And the truth is that the Torah says that the Kohanim are supposed to be part of judgment and administration and legislation. And this is the way it's presented in Rei. It talks about having a central place where you'll come for avodah and for judgment, like what we call the Sanhedrin. Source 10. Yeah, blimim chadavar. If you're something you're confused about, something's beyond you, lamishpah, in some kind of judgment. Ben dam la dam, ben din la din, ben egla nega. And as a side note, this probably proves that Kamenetsky is wrong. At least you have to explain why this is dam ben dam lid dam. Ben adam ben adam. You would probably say that because it's not, they're the same word. There's not a distinction in the language. But anyway, if you can't, you need to make a judgment between some of these things. The blood, so judgment, any kind of nega, divrei rivot b'sharecha, any kind of argument in your gates, become tavalita el makom asheiv char Hashem l'kechabo. Then you'll go to the place that Hashem will choose. You'll go to Yerushalayim. Uvata el ha-kohanim ha-leviyim ve'el ha-shofet asher yeh b'yameh mehem. You'll go to the Kohen and the Shofet. The Rashta v'gidu l'cha et devar mishpat, excuse me, and they will inquire, they will tell you what the right judgment is. Again, Kohen and Shofet, both are involved in this mishpat. Asita da'al pi ha-devar she'iru y'gidu l'cha b'nevukom ha-hu, and you'll do what they tell you to do there. This place that chooses from Atala Sarkoch Shari Yerucha. And they'll do everything you teach you, Alpia Terah Shari Yerucha, Ba'ala Mishpat. According to the Torah, they tell you, and the judgments, Shemurucha Taseh, both the Surman of the Varashi Gilcha Yumin Smol, don't swerve left or right. You go to Yerushalayim, you'll talk to the Kohen and the Shofet. What's the Kohen doing there? The answer is, I think, because the Kohanim are the keepers of the original Sefer Torah. They're the ones. You want to know what the actual Sefer Torah says, you go to the Kohanim. Those are the ones that Moshe gave the original Sefer Torah to the Kohanim. Source 11, Vechtob Moshe Torah Zot, Vechna Kohanim B'nei Levi, Hanosim Et Aron B'rit Hashem. Moshe gave the Torah to the Kohanim. There's a Sefer Torah in the Beit HaMikdash, Right next to the Aaron. So if you're curious what the actual Sefer Torah is, you're not sure if your edition is right or not, they're the ones who have the actual word. They're the authority on what it says. And this was a summary by Rav Naftali Bar Ilan, who was the great-grandson of the Netziv, who was Naftali Berlin, whose son was Meir Bar Ilan, and changed his name to be more Tzioni. This is the grandson of Bar Ilan. He wrote a book called Mishtar Medina B'Yisrael Al-Pi HaTorah. So, police enforcement and the state in Israel according to the Torah. He looks at the Torah and how the Torah designs it, an administration. And he's looking at this pasuk of Uvata El HaKohanim, Vakal HaKohanim HaLeviyim Ve'el HaShofet. What are the Kohanim doing here? Yitan lefaresh at a pasuk v'derech nafsefer. We're going to explain this pasuk in a different way than he does before.
It's who will watch the watchers? You know that line?
Yes, that was a different shiur in the Tanakh series. That was a title.
Oh, really? Oh yeah. I didn't know.
Yeah, that was quid custodians. Okay. If you're the judge in the city, and you don't know how to rule something, that's when you go to the higher court. And it's a question about what the Torah says. The Torah Shebiktav, what's in there? Then the Yuvata Kohanim Halavim. That's the role of Kohen, to be in charge of the Torah Shebiktav. They're the ones who are in charge of this is what the Torah says. And they're the ones who are going to teach it to Bnei Yisrael. They're the ones who say this is what is. And quotes to Devarim Laman Aleph, which is where it says Yoram Shmatech Yaakov Yisrael. And they there was to look at it and say, yep, this is where this is what the Torah is supposed to say. That's Torah Shem Tov. For a Malachim Bet, Kafbet, and he quotes Malachim Bet when the Kohen Gadol finds a Sefer Torah and brings it to Yoshio. Sefer Torah Masati Beit Hashem. Chukio finds a Sefer Torah, we know the story, and then they suddenly realize, oh, we've been doing it all wrong. This is Sefer Torah, that's the job of the Kohen. And Reba Bavli Nechagiga, he quotes the Gemara Nechagiga, Imasafka Lach Milta B'Negayim, Ayim B'Karai. If you have a question about Negayim, about Sarat, then you go to the Kohen, and the Kohen there are called the Karaim. Later on, that term will be used for those who believe in the Torah Shabbat Peh at all, who just believe that, okay, well, we can get everything from the Torah Shabbat Tav. But in the Gemara, Karai was talking about the Kohanim. They're the ones who are the authorities on the Torah Shabbat Tav. We know that the Kohanim who see the Negaim, so the Karai in the Gemara sense are the Kohanim. That's what the Kohanim are there for. That's what you go to.
Danny, I ask you about the Karaites. Does that come from that word?
Yeah, that's what I just said. So that's whatever 10th century on 11th century onward. Okay, that's nothing to do with Gemara. The right. Gemara used the term Karai to mean those who are experts in the Torah Shebiksav. The Karai.
So it's like they're readers, in other words.
Right. So the Karaites were one who said that's the only thing we care about. Okay. The Gemara's not saying that.
Hmm.
I don't know if the Karaites got their name from the Gemara, which the Torah Shebel passed. That would be too ironic, so I don't think so.
Right.
But but that's the idea of Karai originally meant the Kohanim. On the other hand, you play me Medene Ha'ir, the Barakashu of Torah Shabbat Peh, but if you have a question about Torah Shabbat Peh, then you go, Alim Nifnot El Shofet. That's when you go to the Shoftim, we call the rabbis. Chazal are the Torah Shabbat Peh, and you'll Beit Din HaGadol. That's when you go to the Beit Din HaGadol. Because we have this called dialectic. How do we understand Torah? That there's a line between innovation, what we're supposed to figure out, and the conservatism, this is what it is, this is what it always has been. So it's an important part of learning Torah, what we call Torah Shabbat Peh, both the Musar from one person to next, and also what we call the Mitzvot Rabbanan, what we add to it, what we bring into it. This is the way that should be tzedek.
Cool.
We're getting more time, good. Torah Shabbat Peh, Torah Shabbat Peh is what the Chachamim, what Knesset Yisrael, the mind of Jews together, have innovated. There's a chiddush there. According to their understanding of their hearts and minds. This is Par Hashem's will. Understanding that Hashem has. According to the limitations of everyone's own minds and hearts, that is part of what Torah is, and that's part of what Torah Shabbat Peh is. But there's a place to say, no, this is what was, this is what always was. That's the role of Kohanim. That's what is inherent in the Torah Shebik Tav. And I love this quote from Buckley. Conservative is someone who stands athwart history yelling, stop. Can't necessarily stop history, but somebody's got to be there trying to be the balancing side of that.
A conservative is someone who uses words like athwart.
Now, William Buckley is someone who uses athwart, yes.
No liberal would use that word.
Okay, this somehow ended up being in Hebrew order, right to left rather than left to right. I'll have to change that. Okay. So this is the way Rabbi Sachs put it this week, because whenever I try to think of anything, Rabbi Sachs always says it better than I do. But I always read it afterwards. But he connects it back to what happened with Nadav and Avihu. When they bring this Esh Zara, they try to bring their own service. You can't do that. There's a place for innovation. There's a place for creating one's own response. But priests have a different role altogether. They inhabit a world that is timeless, ahistorical, in which nothing significant changes. The daily, weekly, and yearly sacrifices were always the same. Every element of the service of the tabernacle was bound by its own detailed rules, and nothing of significance was left to the discretion of the priest. The Kohen was the guardian of order. The priest's location was to remind people of their limits. There's an order to the universe, and we must respect it spontaneously. It has no place in life for the priest in the service of the sanctuary. That is what Nadav and Avihu failed to honor. It might seem like a minor transgression, but it was in fact a negation of everything that tabernacle and priesthood stood for. So in terms we used before, Kohanim are the reminders of this distinction between the mitzvot d'oraita and mitzvot rabbanan. We have to be aware of that. So the role of the Kohen is to say, here's the d'oraita. This is what originally, this is the Ratzon Hashem. Yes, we're going to keep changing that. I don't know that most would recognize the Judaism we have today. We do all sorts of different things. We don't eat green beans on Pesach. We're not getting into that. and that's part of it, because that's what's developed. That's what we call the Knesset Yisrael. It's our connection to our development as a people. But still, there's a place for the Kohen of saying, okay, this is the balance of that. This is where we are, and this is what we need to maintain. And that's what the to realize this is a mitzvah, the Oraita. This is where the original Torah that came down from Sinai.
I was just saying, like, in the Beit HaMikdash, I'm sure there were they had to derive halachas through, like, there was Torah Shebaal Peh that affected how the Avodah. There must have been.
Yes.
But that's
right. Again, that was the role of Kohanim wasn't there. I mean, you could do both. There is a still a Chazal role. That's a rabbi role to figure out.
The rabbis figured out the Kohanim would still do it there. But ultimately, the job.
Rabbi Shmuel was one of the Tanaim, and he was a Kohen at the same time. But it's a different role. Kohen role is the ritual. It's hereditary. This is fixed. This is, you're born into it. You cannot move. You cannot change. This is what we always do. Right. And there's a place for that as well. And that's why the role is La Ropin in Israel. We said before, and Kol Chukim Asher Diber Hashem Alehem Biad Moshe. And that's what it tells me in this week's parasha. This is the commandments that Hashem told Moshe, and the Sifra, and this says, Biyad Moshe Zim Mikra. The Kohen is there to say, this is what the text says. We can try to limit our innovation as much as possible. So while we acknowledge that there's room for our own human side in Torah and Yiddish, kind of Judaism as a whole, there's this Kohen role as well, and we can't give that up either. So even though we're all doing everything completely differently now, Pesach is completely different from the way it was before, we still have to keep hold on to that core that it remains unchanged. Everyone have a good Shabbos.
Shabbos.
I don't see any. Thank you.
Any comments?
That's good.
It's interesting.